Good morning. It is time to worship. So thank you so much for joining us. And today we have a special message for you. Today you will hear about mentorship. So gather your family, open your hearts, and listen to the word.
The book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Like all the Gospels, Matthew had a specific purpose. See, the intent was to show the Jews that Jesus was the true Messiah and to show his lineage to David. But this text shares a special place in the hearts of all Christians because we have here the Great Commission. Here, Jesus is giving authoritative instructions to his disciples. Be mentors and teach. Be mentors and understand that mentorship and spiritual growth go hand in hand. Now, I'm going to push this message as hard as I can today because this is a critical subject. It's extremely important. And it is truly something that I have benefited from. The order to mentor. A call to action. This is a call for every Christian to be a teacher slash minister. All y'all. See, we cannot get to where we need to go without someone showing us the way. And God has put the right people in our lives at the right time because no one has found salvation without a teacher or a mentor leading them to Christ. Again, no one has found salvation without a teacher or mentor leading them to Christ. It's at this point in Matthew that Jesus reveals the mission. The Father sent the Son sent the disciples sent the church, and you and I are ordered to seek those who are lost. If you follow the Gospels and the relationship between Jesus and his disciples, you will find that it was the ultimate mentor-mentee experience. He was their friend. He loved them. He was their mentor. He taught them. He talked about love and compassion, and he showed love and compassion. In other words, he walked the walk and talked the talk. And although this is a perfect example of mentorship, the Bible has a number of examples. And when you look at the Bible, you'll see examples of teachers, students, lessons, patience, lessons, and growth. You'll see that Paul saw something special in Timothy. And he took him under his wings and developed him, prepared him for success, and he became an effective minister. And Moses had a father-in-law, Jethro, who taught him all about leadership, order, and delegation. Moses then mentored Joshua, encouraging him, preparing him, knowing that one day Joshua would lead their people to the promised land. And Joshua studied under Moses for 40 years. 40 years. And it is very probable that Joshua understood this. In order to be a good leader, one must first be a good follower. And Moses knew that Joshua would take their people where he couldn't go. And then King David was mentored by King Saul. And here is a perfect example of the student becoming the teacher, a mentee going further than his or her mentor ever could. See, sometimes mentors play a small role in the destiny of the mentee. And some mentees will go further than their mentors ever imagined. Benjamin Mays, educator, president of Morehouse College at one point. But more importantly, at least to us, is the fact that he mentored the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Annie Malone was a visionary who understood the importance of style and appearance to the African-American community. And she created products to improve scalp health. But what most people don't know is that without her vision, Madam C.J. Walker may have never became the first self-made female millionaire in America. The point I'm making is that someone is always watching you. And some people have identified you as a mentor, whether they came to you officially or not. And although we might make huge achievements, our mentees could easily take it to the next level, as they should, because they're watching us. Therefore, we have to demonstrate the behaviors that we want to see. And Jesus was the ideal mentor. First, because of his deity, but also because he was patient with his disciples. Over and over, they missed the mark. They stumbled. They fell down. In other words, they were green. They were lost. And sometimes they just didn't get it. And what they didn't know is that Jesus was fulfilling prophecy. In Isaiah 6:9 reads, "You shall keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive." And oftentimes, Jesus was giving his disciples messages through parables, through miracles, but they didn't understand. And although Jesus was perfect, although he was flawless, his disciples oftentimes didn't understand his parables, his miracles, or his speeches. But when they missed the mark, Jesus didn't overreact. He didn't get angry. He showed them love, patience, and he continued to teach and guide them. Jesus was teaching us that every moment is an opportunity to learn. There's a lesson to learn when a disciple gets it wrong. There are lessons to learn when your mentee or your child gets it wrong as well. And the disciples had their share of mishaps and misunderstandings about Jesus's ministry, about what the new kingdom was, and about their ability to heal. And they didn't get it at that moment. Nevertheless, Jesus was laser focused on the mission, and he knew what they needed to get him there. And because he knows all, he knew what they would become. See, they each had something to offer, and I'm telling you right now, each of us have something to offer. think about what you've done, what you've been through, and what someone said to you or did for you that pushed you ahead. Some of you were giving an opportunity on the job and now have fruitful careers. Some of you found your significant other and can easily give a newly married couple solid advice. And some of you, you give advice and then continue to give advice. And although that person may not get it at that moment, in many cases, oftentimes they will get it. And sometimes it might take years, but they will eventually get it. The reality is this: life can be very challenging, full of hurdles, obstacles, major setbacks. And for our young people who just started this journey, the right mentor can help you avoid a number of pitfalls. See, the Lord placed some incredible mentors in my life who took the time to help me identify a career path, who took a chance on me and placed me in desirable positions, who gave me spiritual guidance, and even prepared me to teach and to minister. But in the midst of all of these lessons was a young man who didn't see what was going on. In the middle of all those lessons, I listened. I took something away, but I still didn't get it like I do now. And just like the disciples, we often want to and even think we know everything in that moment. But more often than not, we don't see what God is teaching us, what he is showing us until he's ready to fully reveal it and until we're ready to receive it. That's when we become wise. That's how we obtain wisdom and spiritual growth. To my experienced people, we have an obligation to give back. We have an opportunity and a duty to share something more valuable than money and more valuable than material things, and that's time. And as we shared with you in our last message, time is a gift. Time can lead to wisdom, and with that wisdom, you can help someone avoid a valley or use the scripture and your experience to give them words of encouragement that will help them to deal with adversity. I want to stress to you that there's not a cookie cutter method to create leaders. There's not a certain look to become a mentor. And there's not a certain level of success that's required. Mentors aren't perfect. Mentors don't always have success stories. But what they do have is a story to tell. And if you listen, it could do you a world of good. Mentoring was very important to Jesus, and his methods were very intentional. And as someone told me years ago, you don't scrub people with the word, you brush them with it. And Jesus brushed his disciples with lessons. So as Jesus approached and taught his disciples, he strategically used analogies, which led them to the spiritual truth. So what I'm saying is that as you mentor, as you lead others, your encouragement, your advice, your empathy should always lead them to the spiritual truth. Mentorship is actually a what would Jesus do moment. See, when they come to you about friendship, what does the Bible say? When they come to you about success, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? When they come to you about conflict, what would Jesus do? lead them to the spiritual truth. No matter what you've done in the past, if you call on Jesus and accept him as your Savior, he will not reject you. That's the spiritual truth. Therefore, you have to show that same compassion, that same level of forgiveness and understanding to your mentees. Someone who's listening wants to help. You want to guide and teach others, but you don't believe you're worthy. And I'm telling you right now, from the moment you said, "I give myself to you, Lord," you became ready. And I've seen it. When you don't know what to say, God will say it for you. Last week's guest, Unique Natty, said she just started speaking to a young lady who was contemplating suicide, and at that moment realized that her purpose was to mentor. And through God, she said the right words. And when you don't know what to do, the Lord will do it. The Lord will give you the words and make a path for you. And when they doubt your pedigree, remind them that God has used broken people, made them whole again, and they did his work with ease. You will never hear. You won't hear. "You cannot do it from me." No. You're going to hear, "You will do it." That's God's word, because you are going to be amazed by the people you touch, who lives you affect, just by trusting God and leading others to God. That's what I will say. I want to continue just a little longer. We all are vessels of God. We see this term throughout the Bible, vessels of God, but in short, it means we are receptive, we're obedient, and nothing is more obedient than accepting the fact that we all are ministers in some form or fashion. We all should be teaching, guiding, and testifying. All of us, we should be teaching. We should be learning, because leadership is a journey. So we are required to teach and mentor, but we are also required to learn continuously. See, the difference between a spiritual leader and a leader of the world is this. The leader in the world will often get to a point where they believe they know everything they need to know. And in this world, they're considered an expert, and evolution is dead. They are at the top of their field in the eyes of the world. However, the spiritual leader understands that there's so much to learn, and that there are mysteries and other things that have not been revealed. In other words, they recognize that God is the real leader, and they are humbled by it, which means they're receptive to the idea of still learning. So if we lead without spiritual foundation, I'm not saying you have to hit people over the head with the Bible and yell, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." What I said earlier, we brush them with it. And what I'm saying is that if you lead without demonstrating Christian principles, in emulating the teaching methods of Jesus, patience, love, understanding, and forgiveness, you are doing a disservice to your students. You are doing a disservice to your mentees. You are doing a disservice to your followers. And that's why nations will never be in total agreement. That's why internally, as a nation, we will never be in agreement. Because man is turning to man for leadership instead of turning to God. Patience, love, understanding, and forgiveness. Patience, love, understanding, and forgiveness. How would that look overseas? How would that look in our communities? How would that look in Congress? Luke 6:40 says, "The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher." In other words, if you're impatient, if you despise others, if you are vengeful and messy, you are teaching your mentees those same behaviors. They're watching you. And Jesus said this in Luke 6:39, can a blind man lead another blind man? In other words, if a blind man leads another blind man, the results are tragic. So you can have a title and be lost. You can have money, but still be vengeful. You can be popular and be messy or impatient. And if you're demonstrating these behaviors, think about the type of people you're attracting. Think about the type of people you're corrupting. And remember what Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He has commanded you. He has commanded us. What are you going to do? Who will you help? Who will you help? See, we're in the days where we need spiritual leaders. People willing to step up and not be afraid. People willing to teach the principles of forgiveness, loving thy neighbor, and loving our Almighty God. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week. Jesus has commanded us to go out in the world and bring others to him. Will you do it? So we want you all to know that if you have a prayer request, we are here. Also, if you have questions, need advice, or just want to comment on the show, email us at theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. That's theunknownpreacherla@gmail.com. And remember, if you want to make a difference, you have to do something different. God bless. It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher. The unknown.